I'm blessed to see you all today. God is doing some awesome stuff. Can anybody testify? Yeah, God's doing some awesome stuff. I'm seeing him work in people's lives. I'm seeing people respond to his love. And just what a blessing it is for me and a joy to be able to come here and to just see all your smiling faces and shake your hands and hug your necks and all that stuff. And just to spend some time in God's presence with you all. It's what a blessing it is. How many were here last time when I spoke on love languages? Let me see your hands. How many were here? Oh, about half. Okay. February. How many knows what happens in February? Valentine's Day. Thank you very much. And your birthday. Valentine's Day. February is my wife and I were talking some time back, and God was just giving us these light bulbs about the love languages and scripture and all of this, and we decided that February would be a good month. It's been a few years since we talked about that, which it doesn't seem like it's been a few years because I'm talking about it all the time, but it has been a few years, and so we were kind of thinking that maybe February would be a good month to revisit the love languages. And I think it's very important that we do that because love is the most important thing of all things. There's nothing greater than love. That's what the Bible teaches us. And the reason why there's nothing greater than love, because the Bible tells us that God is love, right? Well, if God is love and he is the supreme, there's nothing above God, love is the greatest thing. And so I think it's very important that we talk about love. Now, what it says there, love must be communicated properly. How many of you have tried to love somebody and they just ain't getting it? Right? They just aren't receiving it. It's not happening. What's the phrase we use? Just not feeling the love, right? And so it's important that we talk about love, and we talk about God's love, especially on the heels of last week's message, Family Feud. Remember that? Yeah. Well, you know what? Love can heal all of those family feuds, every single one. Let's look at Scripture. What's Scripture say? Come on now. Aw, my clicker's not working again. Hello. Is it? Okay, could you give me the second slide, please? Thank you. Hey, what'd you do? Oh, here I thought it was me, and I'm beating up my poor little clicker. I should be punching Troy. He wouldn't be feeling the love, would he? What's that? What's the Bible say about love? In Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than thee." That's what the Bible says about love. There is no greater commandment greater than thee. How many know it's very important that we obey God's commandments, right? Well, his command to love is everywhere in the Word of God. Everywhere. His demonstrations of love are everywhere. There's no greater thing we can do but to love God and to love our neighbors. That's what Jesus said. There's nothing greater than that. And so here's the thing. If we want to be in God's will all the time, then love has got to be flowing out of us all the time. It's got to be directed toward God. It's got to be directed toward others. And so the important thing is that we get the love right. We must get the love right. That's not always easy to do, is it? Anybody have an enemy? I've even got some. And some people are like, oh, you're the pastor. How could you have enemies? Yeah, but trust me, I got some enemies. Some people. We all have at least one? Oh, I have more than one right now. I'm on a roll, let me tell you. Yeah, I got it going on. What's that? What about ourselves? Some of us are an enemy to ourselves because we struggle to love ourselves, right? Isn't that what the word said there? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's really interesting. And so we have to get the love right. How many know that God gets the love right? God got the love right. Even when we don't understand it, even when we can't figure it out, no matter what's going on in our lives, we can know this. This is something you can stand on, that God loves you. And he loves you in such a profound way that you know he loves you. Even when the worst of things are happening, we can trust that he loves us. God gets the love right. We need to get the love right. Now, in order to get the love right, we have to be intentional about communicating and demonstrating love toward God and toward others, even our enemies, right? It's an intentional thing. I'm always talking about living life intentional. I got a guy at the fatherhood class, you know, he grabbed onto it and he said, you know, I really like that idea about living life intentionally well. How many of us are living life intentionally well right now? If you're not living life intentionally well, then there's a good chance that you're not living life very well at all. How many know that by default, things aren't always great? We live in a fallen world. And unfortunately, part of being in this fallen world, the default situation for most of our lives is doom and gloom and what's that hee-haw thing? Doom and despair and agony on me. Remember that? Whoa. And you younger ones that never watched Hee Haw, Netflix, you might be able to find it there. I don't know, but. Yeah, Google Hee Haw. You'll find doom and despair and agony on me. But we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional about communicating and demonstrating. How many of us are married? And how many of us know that in that marriage, if we do not communicate love to our spouse, what happens? You sleep on the couch. Right? The doghouse. You end up in the doghouse. Or much, much worse. And you know, it's not about the other person communicating love to us. It's about us being intentional about communicating and demonstrating love to them. Especially when it comes to our enemies. Look at what Luke chapter 6, verse 27 says. It says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and do good to those that hate you." Now, how many like doing this? This is hard for me. Thank you for your honesty. It is. You're not the only one. Anybody else? Let me see your hands. Is this hard? Yeah. Jackie, see, you're not alone, sister. Yeah. You know, Kylie sang a song here, and there was a part in this song it talked about. Oh, which one was it? I don't know. Something about falling down. 1,000 times I fail. Thank you. Where's that line? 1,000 times I fail. Oh, the very first verse. No wonder I couldn't find it. 1,000 times I've failed, still your mercy remains. 1,000 times I've failed to love my enemy, yet God's mercy remains. While she was singing that song, I was so just run over with the idea. How many play video games? Okay, now I'm talking to a different generation. Some of you know hee-haw, some of you know video games. I don't have to Google that. Video games, you know, you can play video games and you get an unlimited supply of ammunition and you can die 1,000 times and all of a sudden, boop, you're right back at it. For some reason, when she sang that song, 1,000 times I failed, that came to mind, like, you know what? Our Christian life is kind of like those video games. Because it doesn't matter how many times you fail, it doesn't matter how many times you fall down, if you will just get back up, God will be right there. And His mercy and His love will be for you, and He'll put you back on your feet, and He'll head you back in the right direction again. Most of us, I'm not going to say all of us, well, I think I can say all of us, but I'm going to say most of us, just in case there's one person that is like this close to perfect. But most of us have fallen many times. Most of us have failed to do the right thing many times. But God's love toward us isn't about our performance. Do you understand that? His love for you is not about your performance. His love for you is just His love for you. And you know, we have enemies and we have people that it's hard to love. We have to understand, we have to love them not based on their performance, not based on what they've said about us, not based upon what they've done about us, but based upon God's love for us and our love for others the way that He wants us to intentionally demonstrate it. Jesus was the greatest example of loving your enemies. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What's that mean? It means that even before we knew Him, even before we did anything right, even while we were still His enemies in the idea that we weren't godly at all, He demonstrated love for us. Even when He didn't know it. You know, one of the greatest blessings you can achieve, I think, is loving your enemy when they don't even know it, especially when they don't deserve it. Just do it. If you have an opportunity to bless somebody that is your enemy without them knowing it and without you shouting from them, hey, look what I did for you. Forget all that. Just love. When it comes to love or anything else, what my wife is saying is God doesn't ask us to do anything that He hasn't already done. I had a little conversation this morning with a guy about suffering. Well, how could God allow these children to in these poverty-stricken countries to just suffer and hunger? And what about those, you know, all those people that got shot up in that church down in South Carolina? And you know, all this suffering. And I tried to explain to him, you know, God Himself suffered. He doesn't ask any of us to do anything that He hasn't done Himself. He suffered greater, more than the rest of us. But the point is this: there isn't anybody who suffers on this earth who, when they get to Jesus, will complain one bit about the suffering that they had on this earth. Because when you see Him face to face, you realize that our existence isn't about this earth and what happens to us here. Matter of fact, the Bible pretty much promises us that we're going to struggle here. We're going to have some suffering. There's going to be some trial. There's going to be stuff that, you know, for some people it's worse than others. Why is that? I don't know, other than we live in a fallen world that wasn't designed for us. We live in a world that was designed for the devil and his crew. But God put us here. Yeah, well, God put us in a garden where it was beautiful and it was awesome and there was no sin. But because of sin in the heart of Adam and Eve, we ended up kicked out of that beautiful garden. And now we are here to suffer. But we're not going to be here forever, thank God. Anybody happy about that? I am not going to be here forever. Tell your neighbor, I am not going to be here forever. Hallelujah. There's a day coming. when I'll stand with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I'll be with him forever and ever and ever. I'm glad that God is omnipresent, because we would be knocking each other down trying to get next to him. But he's going to be right next to me, and he's going to be right next to you, and his love will be everywhere, and our love for him will be everywhere. But God demonstrated his love for us. Think about that. God demonstrates. God was intentional about love, wasn't he? And so do we need to be intentional. The cross of Christ is the greatest intentional communication of love ever demonstrated. Think about that for a moment. The cross of Christ is the greatest communication of love that was ever demonstrated. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus Christ laid down his life not just for his friends, but for everybody. Everybody who will receive him. He laid down his life. That makes his demonstration on the cross the greatest communication of love that has ever been demonstrated. You see, we have an example to follow. We have a God who is very intentional. Let me just throw this out there for anybody who's wondering. You are here because God is intentional. He intentionally created you for himself. Why? Because he loved so much, he wanted one of you. And he loves you so much that he made a way for you to go to heaven and spend eternity with him. That is a loving God. That is an intentional loving God. God didn't make any mistakes. And you might have people that say, well, what about, you know, people with disabilities and autism and all these other little things and whatnot? You know what? I can't explain all the things that people go through and suffer with and struggle with, but I know this, every single one is precious to God. And I think that some of those people who struggle the most on this earth will be the most blessed in heaven. There are rewards, do you know that? The Bible talked about it's better to be just a doorkeeper in heaven than to not make it at all. Well, if there's doorkeepers, well, then there's positions above that as well. If all I do is get to open the door, oh, this isn't funny. I've talked about when I retire, I might want to be the greeter at Walmart. If I was a greeter at heaven, I think I'd probably be in my glory. Hallelujah. Get to see all your smiling faces. What's that? I would be in glory, that is true. Oh God, is my fate set? And so how are we going to get the love right for God? How are we going to get the love right for others? Because it's a very difficult thing. We need to be sacrificial, just like Jesus was sacrificial. We need to be about the other person. But we also need to know how to communicate love to one another. Now, I want to make a point. Tim, would you take this and give this to Lore? I didn't warn her ahead of time. She has no idea what I'm going to do. First sentence that comes to your mind, speak it to us in French, please.
Je souhaite à tous et à toutes un agréable dimanche.
Anybody here understand that? Okay, let me see your hand if you know exactly what she said. Not one person. How important is it that we intentionally love or communicate love in a way that matters to the recipient, not to the sender? You see, I don't know what she said. She might have said the most profound thing. She might have said, you know what, under your seat there's $100. I don't know. But a couple of you looked. Maybe she planted $100 on your seat before the service. I don't know. She could have communicated you something that would have touched your heart in such a way that you would have just melted in tears just for joy. I don't know.
Je souhaite à tous un agréable dimanche.
Okay, what's the interpretation, sister?
I'm wishing all of you had a really a nice Sunday.
Isn't that wonderful? She wishes us all a nice Sunday. That is beautiful when we understand it. Right? The French language is such as that it was beautiful the first time, but we didn't understand it. It had no meaning for us. Other than we know that Laura is a loving person and that she probably communicated something nice and we all shook our head, oh, thank you. But the point is this. Thank you, Laura. Appreciate that. If we are going to intentionally love somebody, we better know how to speak their love language. Now, for some of you, those of you who have heard this before, you understand this, but for those who have never heard this before, there are different, we all speak different love languages. You know, language is not just the words that come out of your mouth, but it's also the deeds that you do, it's the looks that you give, it's you know, all sorts of things, right? You know, if I'm up here preaching and you guys are throwing tomatoes at me, you're communicating something to me, right? Without using your words. Yeah, that's right. You're hungry for salad. Thank you, brother. But if you're throwing, anybody that knows me knows if you're throwing tomatoes at me and you want salad, you're going to get ketchup. But there are love languages. You know, Laura speaks a different language. She speaks French. Other people here speak maybe some other languages. But we all, the reason why we can impact each other is because we all speak English. Everybody in this place can understand what I'm saying because I'm speaking English. But not everybody speaks the same language around the world. But when you bring it into a more, you know, an environment like this where we're looking at all these people, not everybody speaks the same love language that you speak. And so it's important for us to get the love right. It's important for us to be intentional about loving others, but it's also important for us to communicate in a way that others will understand it and receive it. And so I'm going to share with you, there's a book out there called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. I was going to bring my copy of it, and I forgot. It's a little book. You can order it online, you can find it online, you can actually read it online. There's a PDF of the whole book online. You can just download it and read the whole thing for free if you want. But the five love languages, as I have listed there, that Brother Gary came up with, and believe it or not, I came up with another love language. It's once exclusive to God. I'll share with you that with you on another time. or maybe I'll just briefly run it by you in a moment. But these five love languages are things that this particular Christian psychologist have figured out, you know, somehow, you know, learned that people receive love in different ways and people give love in different ways. And he's got them listed there. Words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Those are the different languages. You know, it's just like if I had a list of languages there, I could have English and French and German and Spanish and whatnot, just like that. But these languages are how people give and receive love. I'm going to give you a little quiz, and I want to see a show of hands. How many of you would just be rocked today? I mean, your world would just be elated, and you would just have this wonderful feeling if I went outside and washed your car and vacuumed your car and made sure the tires were up. See, there's a few hands. But not every hand. There's a few hands, but not every hand. What that tells me is that your love language might be acts of service. If I do something for you, that'll bless you. You will feel loved by me. I need to know that. If that's your love language and I want to intentionally show you love, I got to do something for you. I know this one because my wife's primary love language is acts of service. And trust me, I know when she's not feeling the love. You got to do something. You got to be intentional. Okay, let me ask you another question. How many of you, the greatest thing that I could possibly do for you is just give you a compliment? You did a great job. Dave, did you get that well fixed yesterday? Good job, Dave. I'm glad. Anybody else? I just give you a compliment? Yeah, there's a few hands went up, but not every hand. Karina, I love your long hair. It's just, you know, not too many girls have long hair anymore, but Karina does, and she wears it well. Look at, she's smiling like this. You know why? Because I'm speaking her love language intentionally. She's all red in the face now. What Gary Chapman talks about is we all have this inner love tank. You know, how many of us want, we just want fulfillment in life, right? Some sort of fulfillment. Well, fulfillment comes when we are feeling love. When somebody shows us love intentionally, it's like, wow, I'm just so happy today. Karina may be having the worst day in her life, and if somebody just comes up and says, you know what, I'm just so glad you're here today. It puts a little something in her love tank, and it helps her feel a little bit more fulfilled. How many of you, the best thing I could possibly do for you is just sit with you somewhere quietly. We don't even always have to talk, but we can just sit there and be together, watching TV maybe, or just around it. See, some hands are going up, but not all hands are going up. You see, that's your love language, quality time. You need somebody just to be there, just to do something with you, just to let you know that, you know, their presence matters to you. What was that? You're home alone all the time. Well, hopefully that's not your love language then, brother, because if it is, we need to start filling your love tank somehow. How many of you, the best thing that I could possibly do for you today is give you that $100 that's not under your seat? Huh? A gift of some sort. You know what? Let's say I took the time to figure out what you really like. Let's say you're one of these ladies that really like candles, and I took the time to find out what scent you really like, and I took the time to go down to the store and buy you one of those candles that has that scent you like and just give it to you. If that's your love language, that's what you need from me. You don't need me necessarily to wash your car. You don't need me yet necessarily to sit and hang out with you. You don't need me to do it, but you need me to give you that gift in order to feel love. You know, back when it said that we should love our neighbors as ourselves, well, guess what? Each of us have our own individual love languages. And we want people to love us in a way that matters to us, but we need to love other people in a way that matters to them. That's how you love others as yourself. And the interesting thing of it is, if you love, you know, we all give love a lot of the times the way we want to receive love. And so, if, I didn't go to physical touch, but I could. Let's say, how many of you guys in this place would rather, not that I wash your car, not that I give you a gift, not that I spend time with you, but just when I greet you, I grab you by the hand and I give you a nice firm handshake? There's a few. Not all, but a few. Because I'm showing you that I love you because I touched you. You know, it's not always inappropriate. There's appropriate ways to touch anybody whose love language is physical touch, from children on up. I'll give you one just quick example. Cruz came to my house. Cruz's love language, his primary love language, is physical touch. He came to my house at 10 years old. I had him for 2 weeks. He comes out one day after a couple of weeks of living in my house, and he's crying, and my wife says, Cruz, she's trying to help me. She's trying to help me not feel bad, is what she's trying to do. But Cruz is in my house for a couple of weeks. He goes to my wife crying. And my wife says, Cruz, why are you crying? And he says, Uncle Dale never gives me a hug. I didn't know he needed a hug. How would I know that? Well, not all kids. You'd be surprised. If it's your primary love language, though, you need a hug. If you're a little kid, you need a hug. You might be a physical touch person. Yeah, that's a love language. And so now that we know that, oh, look, she's all excited. She's all excited. She's going to get a hug today. Look at her, fill her love tank. I haven't even done it yet. Look at, oh, there you go. Do you want to really show somebody love? Be intentional about it. Get to know them. I encourage you to read that book. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. You're going to learn a lot about your children, about your parents, about your friends, about your coworkers. This applies to everybody. It applies to everybody. And if you want to intentionally show somebody love, learn what their love language is. We have tests. Would anybody like to take the love language test to find out what your love language is? Let me see your hand. There's a few, honey. Would you get those? I'm going to give those out at the end of service. You can take them home. You can figure out your love language, and you can bring them back because we're going to be talking about this through the love month of February, okay? So it's important for you to figure out what your love language is, but I encourage you to read that book, The Five Love Languages. It's very informational and very powerful. Because why? We need to get the love right. And this particular author has really honed in on how to get the love right. And so for you to have an impact on the people around you, you need to know what their love languages are, and you need to know how to speak it. Just like Laura spoke to us in French. Didn't have any meaning until we heard what it meant in a language we understood. And so that's why this is important. Let me show you one of my favorite examples in the Bible of communicating something in a person's language so that they understand it. I love this portion of Scripture. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Those of you who have Bibles, you can go there. I'm going to read that real quick. Many of you recognize this portion of Scripture. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and what that means, the day of Pentecost, that was a Jewish feast when they celebrated the gathering in of the harvest. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now that's a beautiful thing in itself, that you get a group of people all in one place, all in one accord. And I hope that's where we're at this morning. I hope that we all are in one accord with one another with the idea that, you know what, we are going to learn how to better love one another. And we're going to learn how to better love God. And so they're one place, one accord. Verse 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. One sat upon each of them. Remember I mentioned that I believe there's another love language, and I believe it's a love language that only God speaks, and I believe it's called signs and wonders. God loves us in so many ways, but there ain't nobody can do signs and wonders but God. And so I believe that in this particular example, they're in one place, in one accord, and God does a sign and a wonder, and it touched every single one of them. There was nobody left out. Now, if I come here today and I minister love with, let's say, acts of service, and I minister love to each and every one of you through acts of service, not all of you are going to feel loved. because that might not be your primary love language. But God knows how to do something that affects the whole group. God knows how to speak love in ways that only God can do. It sat on each of them. And verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you want to talk about fulfillment in your life? You want the Holy Spirit in your life. You want to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. You may find fulfillment in all sorts of things, but until you get just the fullness of God's Spirit in you. The other day, that's an amen. How many ever seen somebody just the moment they found Jesus and he put his Spirit in them, wow, life was just all of a sudden glorious. Right? I saw that hand. I was going to use you as an example. I backed off. I said, maybe I better not do that. But it's wonderful. There's a fulfillment when the Holy Spirit comes in and fills you. It says the Holy Spirit, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now realize, in the Assemblies of God, we understand, you know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and what we talk about, the initial physical evidence of somebody who's filled with the Holy Spirit is they speak in other tongues. This particular example is the only time biblically where somebody, and I know I'm talking a foreign language to many of you right now, but biblically, this is the only time in Scripture where somebody spoke in other tongue that somebody else actually understood the moment they spoke it. Well, I say that. Well, they were speaking actual languages that they understood. There are other examples later, if you read the book of Corinthians and other books, where there are tongues and interpretation in tongues. And so somebody will speak in an unknown tongue or unknown language, but God gives somebody else the interpretation of what was said, and then they speak the language of the people, what God had said through this other tongue. And that's something that is a whole different series of sermons that we're not going to get into today. But understand this. God gave them all the Holy Spirit, and he gave them all the ability to speak with other tongues. And in verse 5 it says, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And so there were people there from all around the world. And when this sound occurred, or all around the known world, I should say, when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Everyone heard them speak in his own language. It says, verse 7, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying, look, are not these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Corinthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, I love that one, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we heard them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Everybody in the room was given the ability to speak a language that meant something to somebody else. And as they spoke it, it was powerful. It had meaning. It said there in verse 8, how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? How is it that we hear it? These people don't know us. These people don't know our language. These are just simple Galileans. How is it that they are speaking our language? Guess what? It's very important. If you want to communicate something that is powerful, something that is meaningful, something that will have an impact in somebody's life, you need to speak their language, especially when it comes to love. That's why I believe this is important. If you go to the end, you know, if you read farther in the story, you learn that the impact of these people hearing God's word in their own language was very powerful. Because what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then those that gladly received his word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to the church. That's a huge impact. When you can communicate something to somebody in their own language, it has a huge impact. And that's why I believe that these love languages are very, very important. Love, when communicated properly, has a power impact on the receiver. And God wants you to receive His love. And He wants you to give His love. But we need to be able to do it in a language that matters to the receiver, to the other person. And so in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at Scripture, and I'm going to be talking about love languages. If you, you know, those of you, what'd you do with those? They're up there. Those of you who want to know what your love language is, there's a simple test that you can take. It's right up here on this desk. Before you leave, please take it. There's a little explanation of what each love language has, the meaning of each love language is. But then there's a test, and you're going to see 30 questions on there. It's not a test you can fail. It's not a pass or fail type of thing. It's an informational thing for you. You know, some of you are like, wow, I didn't even study. No, don't worry about that. You don't have to study because you know you. And so when you read the first question, there will be two things, two little questions there. Say, I would like to have this or I would like to have that. And you circle the letter next to the one that you would like to have. And you go down through, you answer all 30 questions, and at the end, you write down how many times you circled the letter A, and how many times you circled the letter B, and how many times you circled the letter C, and you put it next to, you know, you're going to learn something about yourself. You're going to learn something awesome about yourself. You're going to learn why certain things in your life always mattered to you. I'll give you an example. My whole life, and I've given these before, some of you have heard it. There are two things in my life that for some reason in the back of my mind have always been there. It's not like, you know, I stumble over them or I dwell on them, but just two things that I have never forgotten. For some reason, it had an impact on my life. First one, I was a little kid going into kindergarten. I got myself in trouble because I wore my brand new sneakers outside and they were for school. And so I got punished and now I'm feeling bad. And my dad now is, you know, we're past the whole punishment. I'm on my dad's lap, he's consoling me, and he's got his hand, he's stroking my head like this with his hand. He stopped. I reached down, I grabbed his hand, I put it back on my head. I see this in my mind like it was yesterday. I took his hand, I put it back on my head because I wanted him to keep doing that. And he pulled his hand away, and that was the last time my dad ever touched me like that. Why does that matter? Well, I learned through reading this book and taking this test, my primary love language is physical touch. As a child, he was filling my love tank when he touched me like that. And that day was the last time he ever did it. You know why I know that? Because I craved that kind of love from him for the rest of my life. Now, I'm not saying that my dad's a bad guy. I got the best dad here. I would put my dad up against anybody's dad as far as the love for them. Love him. I mean, just, wow, that's my dad. But it had an impact on me because that was my love language. And I didn't understand it until I learned this material. It's like, that's why that mattered so much to me. You know, I never hated my dad about that. It was just something that's like, it really meant something to me. You who are parents, you need to learn your children's love language, whether it's physical touch or quality time or acts of service or whatever it is, and you need to speak it to them because it really matters that much. That much that they will never forget when you speak their love language to them. They'll never forget that. But they'll also never forget if you don't. It's important. Another situation. I'm 13 years old. The girl broke up with me. I'm all brokenhearted. How many of you ever had the 13-year-old, you know, a crush, just broken heart, right? A neighbor girl down the road, she's, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years older than me. I'm not really sure. Happens to come down for a visit and goes for a walk with me. I can't tell you at all what we talked about. I assume we talked about the whole broken heart thing or whatever. I don't know. But for some reason, again, I've never forgotten that. That's something that had an impact on my life that day. And I came across this same girl, not the one who broke up with me, but the one who walked with me. I came across her many, many years later. Now we've got teenage kids, and they're at the school having their sports practice, and, And I show up at the parking lot, and there's this other girl. She's there in the parking lot. We're waiting for our kids to finish. And I go over to her, and I say, you know what? And this is before I knew all this. I go over to her, and I say, you know what? I just want to thank you. Because that day that you went for that walk with me, I have never forgotten. And you had an impact on my life. I don't know what it is. All I know is it's a good thing. And I just want to thank you for that day that you spent with me. Maybe an hour, hour and a half, just going for a walk. Well, I learned through this little test thing here, my primary love language is physical touch, but really close behind it is quality time. She gave me some real quality time. And I never forgot it. Had an impact on my life. And so you think about the things in your life that you just remembered, the things that meant something to you. You don't even know why, but for some reason you've never forgotten it. It just, you get a warm feeling when you think about it. Perhaps it has something to do with your love language, because that day you really felt love. This stuff is important. I want everybody in this place to experience love to the fullest. I want everybody in this place to be able to give love in the fullest. I want us to be able to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. And I want everybody to be able to love their neighbor as their self, the way that God intended it, because there's nothing greater than that. This is a tool to help us do that. And so I hope you look forward into working through these love languages and learning more about these love languages, how Jesus spoke these love languages to all of us. And he still does. And so I hope that you find this very informational, very helpful, but also very inspiring. That as we go forward in life, we know how to love God, and we know how to love our neighbors. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Last week, after talking about the family feud, pay attention over the next few weeks as we talk of these love languages, because when you learn how to love, thank you, when you learn how to love the way that God intended us to love, a lot of those little family feuds can be healed up. Anybody want that? Amen. Father, I thank you for your love that you have poured out on us and for your demonstration of love that you give us continually. Lord, help us to get the love right. Help us to have an understanding of who we are. Help us to understanding of who our neighbors are. Help us to have an understanding, Lord God, how to love you and how to love our neighbors and how to love ourselves in order that we can get the love right. Your word says that if we love you, we will keep your commandments. And there's no commandment greater than thee. And so, God, I pray a blessing on each and every heart that is here. Lord, that our love tanks would be filled and that we would be intentional about filling the love tanks of others. I pray you bless each one here today, that we all, Lord, would just experience your love in a much greater measure than ever before. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.